Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
A rough start to the weekend, and just one home game left at the United Center. It'll come Sunday, but for right now, the Hawks are licking their wounds from a 5-1 loss to the Nashville Predators here at the UC. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN Radio as the Hawks cough up a hat trick to Philip Forsberg and a 5-1 loss. With the loss, the Hawks drop to 23-51-5. Nashville improves to 46-29-5. They continue to keep their spot as the top wild card holder in the Western Conference. Let's head on upstairs and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. Troy, we saw a little bit of a push from the Hawks. Definitely a better start. I mean, the first period, as you said, was definitely more energy than the last couple of nights. But Nashville, with two goals in the first two goals in the second period, were able to hold control of this one, and it definitely seemed like a team that's gearing up for the playoffs right now in Nashville.
Yeah, and they didn't even bring some of the, their main guys. Gustav Nyquist didn't even come on the trip. Neither did Ryan McDonough, the veteran defenseman. They rested their top goaltender, UC Saros. So, you know, this is a team that is gearing up for the postseason. They're working extremely hard all together. Andrew Burnett has done an excellent job this year with the head coaching position. It's just, impressive. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I did not see Nashville being a playoff team this year. And I wasn't sold on adding the players that they did because they're at the tail end of their careers. But they wanted to have a culture change. And boy, whatever has happened is really gone in the right direction. They play hard. They don't cheat. They don't take corners. They play a physical game as a group of guys, and their goaltending is good. So this is a team that's going to be a tough out. Not sure who they're going to play as of yet, but you look at the ability of the Nashville Predators to frustrate the Hawks over the years, and they have. They've always been a tough team for the Hawks to play against, and this year no different. And tonight pretty much the same as what we've seen the last little while for the Hawks as far as being outshot and outplayed and outscored by a large margin.
You know, it was a pretty hot topic when the team decided not to go to that YouTube concert in Vegas, and boy, did the team respond, and they're still kind of rolling with it. I mean, this is a team that really came together after that. I mean, I don't know if you want to say that was the exact moment that really turned things around, but they definitely responded.
Well, there's a lot of people, and I was just talking to one of their guys before the game, and they really believe that was kind of the moment where the Nashville Predators, realize that, okay, we need to get our act together. And they went on an incredible run shortly thereafter. They got beat. The game that really kind of did it was they lost at home to the Dallas Stars 9-2. Then they went and played St. Louis and Vegas, but the decision was made because they went St. Louis, Vegas, L.A., San Jose, Anaheim, and they had some time out there, and that sphere that they have in Vegas, I guess, is incredible. U2 was playing there, and they had it all set up that the entire team was going to go there and check it out, and they took it away. They said, nope. You guys aren't going there. You don't deserve it. And that was a major decision. And I think it was an eye-opener for them. Right after that, they went on an incredible run. And they're going to be back in the playoffs. And, they're closing in on 100 points this year, which is pretty impressive. And again, not a team that I picked to make the playoffs in the Western Conference.
And what's amazing, Troy, is a Bono impersonator just walked into the room and just popped on a headset. It's just amazing timing.
He's probably a little shorter, though, than Bono.
I don't know what kind of rules we're breaking here.
Look at perfect timing here. Throw some U2 into it.
Sunday.
That's radio magic. We might be breaking some rules here, but
hi, Muzz.
What's
up?
It's Darren Pang, for those that didn't know. Darren Pang has popped into the booth.
Hi, Muzz. I decided to come on in here and congratulate you all on your extensions. And me in my first year, Muzz, I couldn't be happier that you all got paid a boatload of money, and we got a three-year extension with our great partners,
WGA. We got the three-year extension.
Well, you know what I mean, Buzz. But that whole thing, I think Barry Trotz might be up for GM of the Year, and Andrew Burnett's going to win Coach of the Year just because of the U2 concert.
You heard the story a long time ago, I got to give them credit to take something away that they wanted, and mm-hmm. they responded the right way. And I don't know about you. I was just saying, like, Nashville was not a team that I had penciled into the postseason this year. I just didn't buy into exactly what Barry Trotz wanted to do as far as bringing in the veteran players. But, boy, it's really helped in all areas. And, this is a team that's going to be a hard out. They're going to make whoever they play earn it.
It's funny. I said the same thing during the game. It's funny how a smart Selke Award winner and a really intelligent goalie think the same way. But I said that. I said no matter what happens in a seven-game series, they're going to leave a mark, yeah. Troy. Huh? They're, because they check hard. They've got a real determined fourth line. I'm not sure if they are a fourth line. They're a line that's an identity line, and they like their roles. That McCarron was a first-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. You've got... I think
it's Cole Smith out of North Dakota.
Cole Smith out of North Dakota.
Well, I had to get that in. But
nicely done. Nicely done. And Kiefer, too, he likes his role. I mean, he gets under the skin of a lot of teams who would want to take a chop at him, but he's good at what he does, and they're a good line. So the other thing is when I saw what happened last year, Troy, in Toronto, when Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly both were added to the Toronto Maple Leafs, they added something that Toronto didn't have. They added guys that love talking about hockey. I'm not saying that the other guys didn't, but I was told by a number of players that Toronto kind of you're kind of like invited into this team. It's kind of like Apple Incorporated. Hmm. There's analytics group here, and there's this over here, and there's a meeting over here, and there's another meeting over there, and then they bring in two guys that are hot stove guys that want to have a coffee and talk about hockey, and that's what Luke Shen and Ryan did a great job there last year, and they got their first playoff win since 2004, and then Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz, I thought that they picked two really good guys for their organization. They let Matt Duchene go. They bought him out. They paid him a load of money, and then he signs the one-year deal with Dallas. So, obviously, I'm fans of both guys, Luke and Ryan, and I know what they bring to the inner sanctions of the locker room, the practices, the game itself, and so I'm glad that they're doing well, because they're two non-fast players, huh, Troy? Where all we see is analytics and fast, and everybody's moving in circles, and these guys just play straight lines and they play hard and they make it difficult on you.
Yeah, both guys keep it really simple. Riley having an excellent offensive year, controls the power play, he's just a guy. Once he gets, and you're right, he's not a fast skater. I mean, skating has never been his forte, but when he gets in the offensive zone, he knows how to play. He knows how to protect pucks, getting to the front of the net. The little give and goes right up his alley. And then Luke Shen, just a big physical defenseman who reads the game well, understands the game well, is a great teammate, stands up for everybody. And that's something that I was talking about during the broadcast. And you look at Ryan McDonough. Outpriced himself down in Tampa, had to move on there, and the Nashville Predators picked him up. And, he's 34 years of age. What does he have left? But with the infusion of this veteran core group of guys, with some of the young talent that they have, and a guy Forsberg, who's right in his prime and having a career year in goals, assists, and points, and had the hat trick tonight, it's been a really nice fit. And I'm a little bit surprised, but... And maybe in some ways I'm not surprised, because those guys are all character players. They're the Nick Foligno type of guys that were brought into a core group that they believe that could still get the job done, and they have this year.
Cool. And Troy, you'd like this in the hallways before the game, because I was between the benches, so you kind of hang around here. And the United Center, these are great hallways if you want a visit with the visiting team and the coaching. The coaches' room
is right
there, and everybody's right there. And Ryan O'Reilly and I were talking, Muzz and I. And I said, so, the game tonight, what's the carrot? What's the key? And he goes, well, we got to get Philip Forsberg the record. Like, that was it right away. And
did they get it.
And as it turns out, when Forsberg scored the first goal to pass Matt Duchene, who said it a couple of years ago, Ryan O'Reilly came right to the bench and he looked at me. He's got no tooth, you know. He did the classic hockey grin. He just smiled and said, "Well, good, we got that one done." And so, I mean, that's a big year for both of them. I mean, that's a big year for Philip Forsberg. He's strong on his stick too, huh, Troy?
Like, oh, he's
you know,
he's,
and I know the Hawks didn't manage pucks very well in this game, and you mismanage them for a split second, and they're in the net. But they do not give up on any loose pucks whatsoever.
No, they really track pucks all over the ice. They come back hard. There's no shortcuts in any of their players. Everybody's finishing checks out there. And, you know, I look at here at the end of the night, and the Nashville Predators were credited with 12 hits. The Blackhawks with 21. I mean, not even close to what was going on in the game. I mean, Nashville was finishing every check out there. There was no time and space to make plays. And they just, like I say, they don't cut corners, and that's why this team is where it's at. And that's why they went on a 16-0-2 run. It's not because they outskilled other teams. It's because they came to work, and other teams weren't willing to pay the price to win games. And, you know, look at Forsberg. You know, he is kind of the undisputed talented player on this team. The rest of the guys are kind of complementary skilled players, but Forsberg, you know, he is so strong, he is so good, protects the puck as good as anybody in the game today, and congratulations for him. You know, they got a couple games left, and it puts another one like that together.
Could
he's going to get 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something, huh? I'm just looking at the numbers, too, because they didn't play Gus Nyquist, and who would have had Gus Nyquist at over 70 points? Muzz, would you? I mean, really,
no.
Would you have had him at over 70 points?
No.
And, that's what he's got, 72.
Yeah, he was brought in as a free agent this year, and you know, he's been a nice player over his career, but all of a sudden, you know, buying into the system. And if you look at some of the players that have been sitting out, you got Tyson Barrie that's been sitting out. Fabro has been sitting out. He's only dressed in one of the last 13 games coming into tonight's action. So they've got some depth of NHL players that are just sitting on the sidelines, and it gives everybody an opportunity that, and you know, given the chance that you better play right, you better play the way that I want you to play, or we've got other guys that are going to come in, like Cody Glass hasn't even been playing. He comes into the equation. So, you know, they've done a nice job, I think, building what they want to do here. And Barry Trotz is, you know, he's outsmarted us all.
Well, Troy, you brought up the word depth, and Peng, you were talking about that fourth line. Troy, you mentioned at the beginning of the game how Andrew Brunette starts with that fourth line. I mean, it's just another example of here in the second year of this Hawks rebuild, what it takes to develop a full team. I mean, as great of an addition Connor Bedard is, it's going to take a lot of different pieces. It's going to take a lot of different combinations.
Joe, was there a line, Muzz, when the three cups in 6 years? Was there a line that was like that?
Well, they had they had Ben Eager, they had Adam Burrish.
That's right. Okay.
You know, they had those guys. So
you asked the guy that was there. See that? You're right. Yeah, that's right. I
they loved
that.
What they did. And those guys knew what their role was. And you know, for Nashville, their fourth line starts a majority of their games and starts every period, basically. Yeah. And, you know, then they follow it up with the O'Reilly line. But they want to set the tone. And if you're not ready to play, you're going to get pasted all over the ice. And all of a sudden, you're on your heels. And, you know, then they come at you with their top line. So if you have an effective fourth line that really knows their role and has embraced their role, you know, you look at the size and as Sherwood, you know, 230 hits, Cole Smith, 230 hits, you know, those are huge numbers, and they just go out and they play well too. You look at Cole Smith has got 9 goals, McCarron's got 12, and Sherwood's got 9 goals. If that's your fourth line and they have an identity like you're talking about and they can add offense, boy, you got something special there, because in the playoffs, you know, you and I, we know this. I mean, you need depth, and you need four lines, and if you have to shorten it down because you're cheating, you know, somebody, and you have to cut things into a place where you can't play guys, well, then that in a long playoff series, that really hurts you. And I think for the Blackhawks for so many years, that their depth was so great in those areas that, you know, the tough series that you have to play to win in a seven-game series, you need those type of lines. You need those type of players.
Lozon finished with 5 hits tonight, so he's at, what, 370 now?
Yeah.
Number one in the NHL.
367.
He's closing in on Matt Martin.
Yeah.
Think he'll get it?
He's probably going to try. I would say he had more than 5 hits in this game, too, by the way.
Yeah. Maybe they'll go through a as they've done in the NHL. They've audited.
Gone back.
They've audited some of the hits right here. Yeah. Did you have a problem with that hit by Lozon late in the game, or is Landon Slagert turning quickly and putting himself in a bad spot?
You know, there was a little bit of both. I didn't like the hit. But, you know, Slagert turns and turns towards the boards. And you know, I've talked about this quite a bit. John knows this as well, that, you know, the accountability of sometimes a player who's getting hit, he can't turn his back to the play. And Slagert did that, but I didn't like the hit. You know, the elbow got up and it was onto the head and pushed him in hard. Yeah. And it hit him hard into the boards. And, you know, loved the response from Foligno to jump in there. But, yeah, no, I do agree with you. I didn't like the hit. I did not like the hit. It's a boarding call.
And I do think what sorry to interrupt you, bud. I do think what Foligno was saying to him was he's kind of pointing at the clock. He's looking at the, like, seriously. Yeah. He's kind of like, come on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
knock it off. This is a kid that hasn't even played 20 games in NHL. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I agree with that, and you know, that's why Nick Foligno is going to be around for a couple more years. I mean, he gets the game and he understands it, and I love that he jumped in there. But there has to be some accountability from Slagert. You know, you just don't like to turn your back in that play, and when you feel that pressure coming from behind, the last thing you want to do is turn into it. You want to ride it out the other way.
Again, against a guy like Lozon, who's always going to finish his checks.
Right,
so
right.
I guess knowing and identifying who's on the ice will be something that you just learn. It takes time.
Yeah.
Well, Panger, thank you for all of your cameo appearances here on the postgame show.
I really can't sing. That's why I had to play that version of the song. And I was trying to find With or Without You, but I couldn't find that either. I was trying to find the Nashville Sphere somewhere,
well,
but that's not really their name.
You move in mysterious ways.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Huh, Troy? I do move in mysterious ways.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Would you like to exit wearing the Blackhawks Hawaiian shirt?
It's called the weave down the hotel hallway.
It's the bobbin weave, Muzz.
He's just trying to shake off the defenders. He's trying to make them go left and he'll go right.
Oh boy! I love it.
All right,
gang.
Yeah, hey,
have a good one. Have a great Sunday. The final game. I won't be here. I'm doing a TNT game, but that's a Masters Sunday. Wear green, okay, Muzz? Wear green somewhere.
Okay.
No. Okay.
For St. Patty's?
You're close on that. St. Patty's is gone, but Masters is
go
green.
Away. Go away.
All right.
Panger, thanks for stopping by.
All right. See you guys.
That is Darren Pang. Troy, any final thoughts on, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day, you two, whatever's on your mind? Did you get a Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah.
Are you wearing it? Well, don't wear that on Sunday.
No, I was kind enough to give it to Vosters.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did hear about that.
Yeah. He was looking for one, and I had one. And so I was very generous, and I said, here, take
mine. You know, I feel like they could just make pajama pants with the same pattern, and it could be a whole set. It could be a pajama set.
And you could wear it for Christmas. Because they're red and white.
I like. Well, see, you got the color coordination down now. There we go. All right, pal. Well, this is what happens with a 5-1 loss. So
yeah. We don't need to break down anything more from the Chicago side of it. But real quickly, if you want to touch on Del Mastro, I thought he was good.
Yes, yes.
You know what? You look at 3 power play goals. So you know, he wasn't. You know, involved in the penalty kill. He just got up here. He's not 100% sure on the scheme of how you want to kill penalties. But, you know, 5-on-5 play, I thought he was good. And, you know, first game in the NHL, 18 and a half minutes, no shots, one hit. Thought that when he had the puck, he made good decisions. Didn't seem like he was caught out of position or overwhelmed by anything that was going on there. So for him, way to go. Congratulations. You never forget your first game in the NHL.
Yeah, and hopefully that's going to help him with some momentum heading back down to Rockford by the end of the year, a good playoff run, and hopefully just all good for that type of rise, that type of sequence that they're hoping for with those types of guys.
Yeah, and now he can relax because he doesn't have to worry about the rookie laugh.
The rookie laugh. He doesn't have to worry about slipping or falling.
Never mind the game. He was worried about the rookie lap.
All right, pal. Well, good stuff, and... We got one more of these here at home before the final road trip of the year.
Well, let's make it a good one.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll be looking forward to seeing you in your green jacket.
For St. Paddy's Day?
You got it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Troy. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight as the Hawks fall to the Nashville Predators 5-1.
Dumping the puck down behind the Hawk net, then runs into Murphy. Murphy strokes the puck into the far corner to Del Mastro. He'll flip it ahead. Here's Kurashev now back into the Predator zone. To Murphy down the slot. Backhands up the side of the net. Johnson deflects it in on goal. And what a save made by Kevin Lankinen, diving out ahead of the crease and gloving that one out of the air.
That is our save of the game tonight, which is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. Former Blackhawks goaltender Kevin Lankinen picking up the win tonight for the Nashville Predators. The Hawks generating, let's see here, 21 shots on goal. And this is interesting. Oh, I'm sorry, 25 saves, excuse me, for Kevin Lankinen tonight. Always great to see Kevin Lankinen. He was a very easy guy to cover when he was with the Hawks, just a very positive guy. Always had good, fun things to say and really enjoyed his time here with Chicago too. But obviously this is a business, and his journey ended up taking him to Nashville. It seems like he's a fan favorite there. Obviously doing pretty well, and helped out his team beat the Hawks tonight. 5-1 the final from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. 312-981-7200 is our call and text line. You can text us on that number from the 773 area code. After seeing where Antti Raanta and Kevin Lankinen are performing, I feel Söderblom will get better. Tough, rough game, and Del Mastro was good in his first game. Definitely think it was a good showing for Ethan Del Mastro in his NHL debut. Again, not a ton of things to really break down or talk about because, I mean, this was a 5-1 loss, but on the defensive side of things, nothing really outlandish about his game. Seemed to be in the right spots at the right time. Taking a quick look, I believe he finished at even, and he did. So, good NHL debut under his belt. We'll see how many more games, if he's able to finish out the regular season. But again, odds are he'll head back down to Rockford, finish out the year there, and help them on their playoff run, which is probably just going to be a good transition and a good journey for Ethan Del Mastro as he begins his NHL career. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. Troy and I were talking about the Philip Kurashev goal in the second period that came on a Connor Bedard pass. It was a 5-on-3, so we're not going to totally sugarcoat the Hawks scoring there, but I do think a couple of things is Troy was really examining just Connor Bedard's ability to make that pass exactly where it needs to be. You think a one-timer is like the easiest thing in the world, but you kind of forget how precise it needs to be in order for it to work at its full capacity, and I think we've seen a lot of that from Connor Bedard this year, and that play specifically, I think Philip Kurashev has gained a lot of confidence doing that, just unloading on those types of one-timers. I mean, we've seen Philip Kurashev take such a step forward overall, but I think that specific play just kind of goes to show you that he's not overthinking things, and he's not worrying about making a pass or making the perfect shot. He's just letting it rip. And it was definitely on display with that goal right there. A few people texting in or tweeting in, too, and you can tweet me at Joe_Brand1, about the line configuration. If you didn't see, I mean, Luke Richardson was mixing some things up. And from Sports Hash tweeting in, positives, I thought Ethan Del Mastro looked really good out there. I loved Slagert with Foligno and Bedard. What do you think? It's interesting because Slagert was initially on the Jason Dickinson-Joey Anderson line, and there weren't a ton of quality chances for the Hawks tonight, but there was one in the first period, and it was Jason Dickinson and Landon Slagert using their speed, entering into Nashville's zone, and with Dickinson on the left wing just feeding it to Slagert, who was crashing the net, and it was just getting a touch on the puck. He knew exactly what he needed to do there. It wasn't anything fancy. He didn't need to get a completely clean shot or anything. And it was just in that moment that I thought, okay, you've got two guys that play a similar game, and it's understandable how they could complement each other's game, too, with that hard-nosed mentality, that crashing towards the net. Now, when Luke Richardson shuffled up those lines and is, again, at SportsHash, tweeted at me about it, Slagert with Bedard and Foligno. I mean, Foligno is a very similar player to Jason Dickinson. I mean, just take a look at both of what they received this year in terms of rewards for their play and getting a contract extension. But yeah, I mean, if that type of play, if that type of mentality can work with Landon Slagert being involved, and I think we're all a pretty big fan of Landon Slagert's game and his short sample size here at the NHL. I mean, Troy Murray kept talking about the Brandon Hagel comparison, which is something we've talked about in the past. Yeah, I can see how that can work. The thing is, though, I don't want to totally just overvalue these things with these small sample sizes, because we have seen a lot of line mixing and just a ton of different line configurations. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see Slagert on that line in Sunday's game against the Carolina Hurricanes, because that is something that Luke Richardson has done before. When he's forced to make a line change, he continues with that line change the following day. And I honestly think that that's probably the right method, because you're just kind of making it a continuation rather than just a random, abrupt line configuration and seeing if it sticks. So who knows, but I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. Our reporter Jack Heinrich is back. He's got sound from the Blackhawks dressing room and the head coach, Luke Richardson. We'll get to as much of that as we can when we come back. Call or text us, 312-981-7200 on the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN.
Bedard is there. 30 seconds left on the 5-on-3 advantage. Bedard into the high slot, over to Kershaw. One-timer, he scores! Finally, the Hawks get one past Kevin Lankinen. It's a 5-on-3 power play goal. And the Hawks are on the board, trailing 4-1, and they'll stay on the power play.
Unfortunately, that was the only goal for the Hawks tonight. Filip Kuryshev, with his 18th of the year, that puts him for third on the current Hawks roster this season, a 5-1 loss to the Nashville Predators tonight. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight, 312-981-7200. Our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. Connor Bedard earning his 60th point of the season as an 18-year-old in his 65th game on that primary assist of Filip Kuryshev's one-timer. That puts him, well, he remains 7th all-time for Blackhawks rookies in franchise history. He's just 2 points behind Daryl Sutter now. And as John Weideman mentioned during the broadcast, if you didn't hear, Connor Bedard now owns the rookie record for most shots on goal in franchise history, passing Doug Wilson. Speaking of rookies, Ethan Del Mastro made his NHL debut tonight. Let's hear from him.
I mean, obviously, pretty surreal when you step on the ice for the warm-ups, and then you know, hearing the crowd and stuff at the start of the game is pretty special. Obviously not the result we wanted, but pretty awesome playing your first game.
Rookie lap went fine.
yeah, not too bad. I mean, obviously nerves are kicking then, but you know, didn't step on a puck, didn't fall, so I'll take that as a win.
At what point did you feel like your nerves kind of settled down and you were into the game?
Yeah, I think just after the first shift. I think after you kind of make a couple plays, you know, bump someone, you're kind of into it, and I mean, they're pretty positive on the bench with you, and you know, I mean, Murph was awesome, kind of talking to me and helping me out there, so it made me feel kind of a little more at ease.
Do you feel like you had a welcome to the NHL moment tonight, like during?
I mean, you're playing against some top players, I mean, around the league. Yossi's obviously an amazing player that you know, you watch and you see, and I think, I mean, talking about O'Reilly, I mean, I was just watching him in the playoffs last year, and as a, you know, hometown kind of Leaf guy, you're watching him try to chase a cup, and then you're playing against him. It's pretty cool.
Was how fast the game was? What were you expecting it to be that fast? Was it faster? How was it in your mind?
Yeah, I think obviously a little bit faster, but I think there's a little more space than you think, a little more time when you're you know, handling the puck. You know, a lot of players are in the right spot, so makes it a little bit easier on you.
In Rockford, you get a little bit of everything in terms of situations. How was it going on the power play tonight?
I didn't play any power play tonight, but yeah, I do get a couple situations in Rockford. I mean, you know, even them putting me out quite a bit here was awesome to, you know, kind of get my feet wet.
All right, let me try again to redeem myself there. How was it tonight? Just kind of going through all the motions, but then getting that chance just to be out there tonight for that first time.
Yeah, obviously it's pretty unreal. You know, you work your whole life to you know, try to accomplish this, and you know, to have my family in the building, the people that kind of, you know, helped me through this whole kind of journey, it's pretty awesome. And then obviously the history of the Blackhawks, it's just an awesome experience.
Late in the game, there was a 4-on-4. It was you, Bedard, Korchinski, and Slager. Do you look around and notice that? Do you see that?
No, I think I'm more so just playing. But yeah, obviously it's you know, a lot of young great players around here, and I think that's special, and you know, obviously pretty exciting moving forward.
How's it being reunited with your World Junior guys?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see them again, and you know, see them in person and face to face. Obviously, it's different when you're just kind of keeping track of them and seeing how they're doing. But it's nice to actually be able to talk to them.
In game, how comparable were the systems and some of the language to what you're doing in Rockford?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. Pretty similar in the D zone and stuff like that in certain plays. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just hockey, and you're going out there and playing and kind of using your instincts. So yeah.
How was it playing with Murphy? Did he help you out?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously his first game back after a while, and I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He was obviously very helpful. I mean, a veteran presence for me, and made it really easy on me.
Looked like there were some words exchanged early in the game. Was there any temptation to drop the gloves first game?
Yeah, I think it was more so Murph. Obviously, he's a little feisty out there, and I think he was you know, taking exception to something. But you know, I was just kind of standing there and kind of listening to what they're saying. I wasn't obviously saying too much for my you know, first couple shifts.
Ethan Del Mastro commenting after his NHL debut. Del Mastro likely will finish the regular season here with the Hawks and then head back down to Rockford on their playoff run. Connor Murphy returned to the lineup coming off of IR for the first time since January. Let's hear from the Blackhawks defenseman.
It did, yeah. It was mistakes, and we didn't seem like we had much life and much legs. Guys were just not. Yeah, we just didn't have. It just didn't seem like we gave much, and it led into mistakes and D zone time.
How did you feel out there?
Felt okay. A little rusty. It's been a while, and some of the defensive anglings and footwork was a little off. Got beat on the one goal, unfortunately. But other than that, the hip held up well. I was happy with, and was able to kind of, I guess, hold it together for the most part.
What does it mean to you just to get out there for a game before the season ended?
Yeah, it's big, and it's the guys have gone through a hard stretch for a while now, and just to be able to go through it with everyone is really important, and just day-to-day and in game to be out there with guys and go through some of the lumps like tonight.
What was it like playing with Ethan?
He's great. He for a big guy, he seems to have good handles on the puck and good instincts to use his body. So I thought he had a great first game. I can imagine that's not easy coming at the end of the season like that and playing against a playoff team.
Will you know more tomorrow how you feel from the game tonight?
Myself?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I feel good now. But yeah, you obviously, with any injury coming back, you just assess yourself day to day. But I'm confident I'll be able to keep going.
Where the cut happened?
I don't know. Yeah, one of the battles, to be honest. I don't know.
Connor Murphy already with a battle wound in his first game back since January. One more break, and then we'll hear from Luke Richardson before we wrap things up here on the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Canes win the draw. Chance to clear, and they will. It'll be settled down. Gensel with it again. Bingo! Two empty net goals for Jake Gensel, and that time he cannot complain about Seth Jarvis not passing the puck.
That's Mike Maniscalco of Bally Sports South, and that is our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Carolina Hurricanes are the Blackhawks' next opponent for the final home game of the regular season. That'll be Sunday here at the UC at 5 o'clock, which means a 4:30 FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show. Carolina with a 5-2 victory over the St. Louis Blues tonight. And with St. Louis losing and the Vegas Golden Knights winning right now, 4-1 over the Minnesota Wild in the third period, if that score holds up, St. Louis will be eliminated and Vegas will cash in their playoff tickets. Again, the Hawks will be in Vegas just two games away. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're wrapping things up, but not before we hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson.
Yeah, no, obviously not a great start. You know, I mean, they're a big, strong team. Again, we've played a few of those lately, and turnovers and mistakes in the D zone. And, you know, I mean, our penalty killing, which has been pretty good, you know, in the second half of the year, especially just, you know, weren't sharp. We had times where before we took the penalty, we couldn't get out of the D zone. We'd take a penalty, and then we had, I think on both penalty kills, had chances to get pucks out and just not executing, getting it out. And, you know, it's just of case of them wanting the puck more, and they were more determined.
It's at least one power play goal in each of the four games. What is it that Predators do that just seems to get the PK trouble?
They're really strong on pucks. So their ability to make strong plays through our box or diamond, depending what we have, they've caught us a lot on that. And then just strong net front. Getting secondary chances and rebound chances, and even the backdoor play by Forsberg, he just hard. Like he got, the puck comes through and looks kind of like a nothing play, and he just powers that past Sody. He's one-on-one with him, and Sody's still getting there, but if it's a lighter guy, that probably bounces off his pad and out instead of off his pad and in, but that's just execution by them.
What do you think of Mastro's run?
Del Mastro, same question. good. I think as the game went along, I think his best period was his third period. He looked confident in on the offensive blue line, keeping pucks in and shooting it. Like anything, it was fast, I'm sure. Turnaround for him, first game in the NHL against a team that's going to make the playoffs. It's a big, strong team. It's tough for a young D to come in, especially at this time of the year. Let alone the beginning of the year, but he looked confident and fine, and I'm hoping to get him in another game next game and just build off of that.
Before things officially wrap up, let's take a look around the NHL. We have one other highlight to pull for you, and it comes from Edmonton.
Back now, Cooley, out high it goes. Pacelli drops it. Kesselring. And now Pacelli with a shot, he scores! Matthias Pacelli, overtime winner!
Matt McConnell of Scripps Sports, as the Arizona Coyotes take down the Edmonton Oilers 3-2, as you just heard in overtime, but some rough news for the Coyotes, their organization, and their fans today, as it sounds like that franchise will relocate to Utah. All this talk about a new venue or continuing the current one at Mullet Arena, and it sounds like the franchise is going to Salt Lake City. So rough news for Coyotes fans, the whole organization, definitely thinking of all those people. Elsewhere around the NHL, Calgary's got a 4-0 lead over the Anaheim Ducks. They're through two periods in California right now. It's Nazem Kadri's 900th career game of regular season play, and he picked up his 27th goal of the season in it. As we mentioned earlier, the Vegas Golden Knights with a 4-1 lead over the Minnesota Wild. If they're able to win that game, Vegas will punch their playoff tickets. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Plumbers 911 Chicago, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help back at the WGN Radio Studios, our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Colin McCarthy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, the tireless Krista Flores. Here at the United Center, our reporter was Jack Heinrich. Our Hall of Fame engineer was Paul Zerang. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. And a big thanks to Darren Pang for stopping by in the postgame show for one final time as well. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand signing off. Again, the final score, Hawks fall to the Nashville Predators 5-1.